Turn your Bibles to Psalms 107, verse 20. Just a very short verse. We're going to preach on the Word, not just we're going to preach the Word, but we're going to preach on the Word tonight, too. What is the Word? What is it about the Word that we need? And what is it? And one thing, faith comes by hearing what? And hearing by the Word of God. So the faith comes by hearing. There's no other way to get faith except by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Psalms 107, verse 20 said, He sent forth His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So it's the Word that heals us. It's the Word. We preach the Word. We quote the Word. We live the Word. And it's the Word. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. In Genesis chapter 1 there, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, that's His Word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And some folks have trouble today believing what the Word of God said and that God can do anything. But I have no trouble believing God's Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And if God said, let there be light, and there was light, who am I to doubt His Word? How many knows there's light out there? There's darkness. He named the night day, the darkness night. And He knows what He's talking about. If we can just believe God and we could trust God. In James chapter 1, verse 21, he said, Receive ye the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So there's another one. The word is what saves your soul. You hear the word. Hearing the word. And it says in John 17:17, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So look what the word of God does. It sanctifies us. It washes us. It cleanses us. Turn if you want to John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification means cleans us up, doesn't it? So it cleans us up. And you're clean through the word of God, which I've spoken unto you. Jesus told us that. And all these words and people seem to doubt the word of God and seem to can't believe the word of God. But we have to hear it. Now there's another thing that I found out in my experience with God. If I just keep quoting scripture, if I get something wrong with me, you can count on this. I'm going to quote the scriptures on healing until it's gone. And you keep on quoting that scripture and quoting that scripture, something about the word that healed. And so after a while, you're going to get healed. How many knows that? It's the truth. You shall know the truth, John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So He's the Word. He's the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Who am I to doubt God's word? Who are you to doubt God's word? And I know you don't. But we need to depend upon that word of God. Because He sent forth that word and He healed us in advance and He delivered us from our destruction. How many knows we got saved because of the word of God? Because somebody come along one day and quoted some scripture to us and told us about Jesus, who is the word of God. And so we gave our heart to God, and they're here. That's why we're here tonight. It's because of the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall not pass away. Heavens and earth pass away, but His word will still be here. What you've got on the inside of you of the word of God is a poison killer, and I'm going to get in that in a few minutes. It kills poison. How many knows that we're poisoned every day? We're poisoned by what we see that we don't want to see. We're poisoned by things that we hear that we don't want to hear. And it poisons our mind, and it tries to poison our spirit, but we shouldn't let it poison our spirit because the Word washes us, and it cleanses us by the washing of the water by the Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might what? Cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. In other words, he likens it to a husband and wife relationship. And husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church, that he might wash it with the washing of the water by the word, that he what? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Let me ask you a question. If he died upon the cross, done all these things, and he was going to present this church to himself, he's going to present to himself the best. You know why? Because he's the best. There's nothing like him. He is the way. He is the truth. You can't get to Father's house but by him. And our whole objective in this life is to get to Father's house. If we can get to Father's house, Father has everything. And Jesus is the way there. He is the only way we can get there. And he is the word, the word, the word. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Boy, that sounds good, don't you? How many of us do that? Admonishing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in there. It needs a place to live. You know, we know the word is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The word is a light. But he wants to live in us. He wants to put his life in us that you might have his life. He is the way. He is the truth. So if we've got the word on the inside of us, we've got life. 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 Back to Ephesians chapter 5 and goes down and husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that he might wash it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Just think, he wants to give you to himself. That's kind of confusing to the natural mind, ain't it? But he washes you and cleanses you because he's going to bring you as his bride to himself. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day when I could sit with him in his throne. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to when we get caught up to be with the Lord and so ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward for the power of God to operate in the matter that we're talking about, not just a little bit here and a little bit there like we're seeing today, but when he gets a hold of everything that's his and he presents it to himself. What kind of church do you say he's going to present him to himself? Let's say a glorious church without what? Without spot or wrinkle. I see you know what the word is. He's going to present you a glorious church to himself without spot, without wrinkle. A glorious church. You know what a glorious church is? That's a bright and shining church. That's a church that's cleansed. It's a church that's been set free. It's a church that's full of the power of God. It's a church that's full of the word of God. It's a church that's full of the glory of God. It's a church that's full of Jesus Christ. It's a church that's full of the Father. It's a church that's full of the glory of God. I want you to know he's coming after a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. And you and I are that church if we keep ourselves in this here word situation. Word cleanses us. So it's a way we get sanctified. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 18, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I ain't ashamed of it, are you? I can talk it right out on the courthouse square. I can talk with you about God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Listen to, you turn to Romans 1, 16 if you want to. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek, then to whosoever believeth. Believeth. What did we preach last night? St. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. this speak he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Brother Gaither laid on to that one last night. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. Somebody said, I wish we had revival. I wish we had greater revival. Do we glorify Jesus? When we begin to glorify him, he's going to really send some revival. We've had a good revival, as far as I'm concerned. Huh? But the Lord always tells me you could do better. He talks to all of us that way. You know, he blesses us and we just weep and cry and everything. But he always says, but you can do better. You can produce more. You know, if I ever ask the Lord what he wants me to do, and he just said more, more. God wants us to do more. Somebody said, I'm wore out now. Well, I'll tell you what, when you do more, you'll get rested. This is the rest wherewith it shall cause the weary to rest. For with stammering lips, Isaiah 28 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. That's what talking in tongues is for. It's stammering lips. It revives us. It renews us. It's the Holy Ghost that comes into our life, and the rivers flow from us and we find a rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. And verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. And the just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by what? Faith. Where do you get the faith? From the word, hearing, and hearing the word. The word. Let's look at something else. You can go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and let's look at that one. The word of God is quick. It's alive. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. How many's turned to that? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit, the soul, and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the intent of the heart. The word of God's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts. Huh? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the spirit, the soul, the joints, and the marrow, and is the discerner of what? The thoughts. And the intents of the heart. God knows what we're doing. He's hooked in on us. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth how much? Nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word is spirit. The word is life. And in him we live. And we move and we have our being. It's in him that we live. And we move and we have our being. So that it just goes on and on and on and on. Well, about the word of God, it's our matter of getting sanctified. It's the truth. It's the way. And all these things that I'm talking about, it is the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to turn our Bibles and into an Old Testament scripture. And it's, how many knows that the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the good things to come? So here, I'm going to talk about a type and a shadow here, just in a minute. And I want to go to 2 Kings, speaking of the prophet Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38 through 41. 2 Kings. Now look at this. Now, I want to say again that the word of God is the only thing that can get all the poisons out of our spirit and of our soul. Poison. You know, people say things in front of you and all those kind of things. And you, when you go through on your job or whatever it is, and you know, and you feel poison when you get, but that's gets rid by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've done and got into that. But now let's turn our Bibles to this one here in 2 Kings chapter 4 and begin with verse 38, and we'll read down through 41. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a drought in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto the servant, set on the great pot and seeth pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds a lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, verse 41, then bring meal, and he cast it in the pot, and said, pour out for this people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. Now I want you to notice what happened here. If you notice what meal represents in the Bible, it says bread corn must be bruised. And so that's Christ, isn't it? The meal represented Christ. He's the bread of life. How many knows that? And one scripture, I forget just exactly where that's at, but he said bread corn must be bruised. It says, speaking of the cartwheel that goes over it and crushes the corn, and that way, how many likes cornbread? I'm a cornbread eater. I like cornbread and beans and things like that. That's what my wife cooks, and I like that. Come on. But without it, you can't have it without corn. And so we find that there was meal here present, and that meal represented Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the bread corn. Can you say amen? He's the meal. Now, let's look and see here what happened here. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a drought in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servants, set on the great pot, and seeth pottage for the sons of the prophets. Now, there was a drought in the land. There was a need for food. They had to have something to eat. They were hungry, and it was kind of bad, and no doubt. I remember back when I was a kid, the people that rode the trains through town, they called them hoboes. And they'd gather up things, you know, to make one of these stews. They called it a mulligan stew, I believe is what it was. But, you know, one of them would go to a house and say, have you got a little bit of meat that you can give me? We're hungry. So they'd bring the meat in. Another would go to some other house or a grocery store or something, say, we need some tomatoes and we need some vegetables and something like this. So when they brought in all their stuff in, they chopped it up in the pot, then they could have this stew that they had. I mean, maybe you've even eaten some of it yourself. I don't know, but I remember when they done that along the railroad tracks. They'd set up one of these places where several of them could gather around and eat. But that was kind of like this thing here was. Elisha, again, he had this drought, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and they were hungry. And he said, set on the great pot and seeth pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field. Now, there's always somebody that's going to make a mess. You know, I've been in the ministry 55 years, and I don't care how good a church we've got and how good this we've got, there's always somebody that's going to make a mess and put something in the pot that hadn't ought to be there. Huh? Amen. Maybe 50 good ones, but there's one. I hope there's not one here tonight. But there's always one. Woman talked to us the other day before we come down here and said, does it just have to be one troublemaker in every church? I said, oh, yeah, we need them. They keep us straightened out. Huh? I've got some folks up in Missouri that keeps me straightened out. Can't you see how straightened out I am? Huh? Yeah, you know how they keep us straightened out? By talking about us. And it ain't good. And, you know, they don't even have to have any proof of it. They just say, I think he or I think she. You see, God's not interested in that. He wants to get rid of that poison, and we have to get rid of that kind of poison. And the only way we've got getting rid of it is through the Word of God. It overrides every bit of that. It cancels all that out, and it brings us into a glorious power with God. And that's what we need in the church today. Amen? Now listen to what it says. And one went out in the field to gather herbs. Incidentally, them that I was talking about a while ago that's always troublemakers, they're usually the ones that don't know anything. Ain't they? Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I must have struck a rock or something here. But no, we were all right. Listen what it said. And one went out. This one went out. All the rest of them went and they got something and they had a pot full of stuff. And this one went out to gather herbs. See, he didn't know herbs. Herbs from poison. And found a wild vine. Boy, you don't never mess with a wild vine. Huh? Esau, he was labeled in the Bible as he'll be a wild man, God said. And you know what? All this trouble over in the Middle East right now, you know who they are? They're descendants of Esau and those in their wild people. Somebody said, we'll just get them under control. Them folks are wild people. But then, anyhow, they gathered therefore the wild gourds in his lap, a lap full. You know, when people make a mess, them that make messes, they always do a whole lot of it. And he gathered therefore the wild gourds his lap full. And came and shred them in the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So the others, it said they, so there was others implicated in it. And so here they come into this nice pot of pottage, you know, and with these gourds, they didn't know what it was. They just looked good, probably. You know, a lot of folks go by how things look. Does that look good? It's not how it looks, it's how it is. And the word is. Can you say, man, the word is? And so they shred these up in the pot. Now they got it all mixed up with all the good stuff in the pot. And they knew them not. Verse 40, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating. Notice they got all this together in the one pot. While they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. They said, O man of God, there's death in the pot. Well, this man of God had the word. He had the word of the hour. He had the word of the day. He had the word for these people. He had the word for the pottage. He had the word of God, because it was able to heal the poison in the pot. And listen what it says. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Now, how many got the picture there? This meal represented the word of God. It represented Christ. How many knows? He came to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to loose them that are in prison, to set the captive free. And all these, and the word of God, that's what it's for. Now here they got this all mixed together, but there's poison in there. See, that didn't bother Elisha. He said, oh, a meal will solve that. Bring some meal. They brought him a handful of meal. He throwed it in the pot. Guess what? It healed all the poison in the pot. So you don't worry about the poison. See, here's what the church is going to have to get to in this hour that we live. We're going to have to know that we've got the meal. Every day, nearly somewhere, someplace, or every week at least, I contact this poison thing. But I know what to do with it. If I've got enough meal, hey, it's going to do away with the poison. You know, you can eat the poison and all. They didn't have time, or they couldn't pick out the little bits of these here gourds, could they? He just said, throw it in the pot. It'll heal all the rest of it. If you've got a conflict with somebody, just throw some meal in the pot. That'll take care of them. It'll take care of everything. Amen. He's the answer, isn't he? He's the answer. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can come to God except by him. So he's the way. He's the truth. This is one of the most perfect examples, and it happened to be in the Old Testament, of the meal, which is a type of Christ dissolving and destroying the poison and not having to pick. They couldn't pick it all out. It was already shred up in the pot. See, we get in church, we get to, somebody's got a little something wrong with it. We get to picking at it. Try to pick it out. Pick it out. You ain't going to pick it out. It'll pick you out if you keep doing that. But here's the thing. You overshadow that and override that with what? With the word, which is the meal. The meal. He sent forth his word and healed them from what? Their destruction. He sent forth his word. That was my text. He sent forth his word and healed them from their destruction. The healing word. The word is a healer. Amen. I don't care what's wrong with you. Somebody told me one day, said, he had something wrong with him. I said, why don't we pray for you and ask God to do something? He said, oh, it's just a little something. I'm not going to bother God with a little thing like something on my toe or something like that, I think it was. He said, what do you think? I said, if I've got a toe that's hurting, he's going to hear about it until he quits. There's going to be meal put on the toe. There's going to be meal put in my life. There's going to be meal in my mind. There's going to be meal in my belly. There's going to be the power of God. I'm going to talk to God till that toe gets well. He said, oh. I said, yeah, oh. You know, how many like go around the rest of your life with a toe ache? Or a toothache? Or a earache? Or something that's all poison and all beat down with these things. You see, many people on their job, they're working alongside of people that's ungodly, and they want to pump all this ungodliness in you, but you've got the power. You've got the word. You can say, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. And they know what you're talking about. I had that happen to me when I first got saved. You know, I was working with a guy. Man, I'm telling you, he used words I never even heard before. And I had heard a lot when I was in sin. He just kept on cursing and blackguarding. I said, why, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He looked at me. He said, are you a Christian? I said, you better believe I am. You know, that stopped him dead cold. That healed it right there. From that day forth, he wouldn't say anything like that. And he finally got saved. After they had it went on a strike in that place. And I met him on the streets in St. Louis one day. And I was coming down the street, and I could see he had got saved. He was just a smile. He seemed to, he knew who I was. And he run right up to me and said, guess what? I said, you got saved. He said, I got saved. And he said, my wife got the Holy Ghost. Come on, I'll tell you what. We need to offer something in the pot that will heal, deliver. He sent forth his word and delivered them. Amen. So that's one of the great examples. I'm going to close with Isaiah chapter 61. And you know, with this word and the spirit, church, we've got the most powerful thing in the world to work with. There ain't nothing as powerful as the spirit and the word. The spirit anoints the word. A lot of folks think God anointed that man, that flesh. He don't anoint my flesh. He anoints the word that's in me. That means this too, that the more word I've got, the higher my anointing can go. Does that make sense? You can have more anointing if you got more word, because how Acts 10:38 again, I've said it two or three times in this revival, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed everyone that was oppressed of the devil, but God anointed him. Who was he? He's the bread corn. He's the bread of life. He's the power of God unto salvation. He's the glory. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God. So let's go here to the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. There's four verses here I want to get into. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now that doesn't mean just me. That means you. God don't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. If you want the Spirit of God on you, He'll give it to you. And He won't withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Now, that's good enough for me right there, ain't you? He give us liberty. They sang in this song the other night, I'm free. I tell you what, I'm glad I was free, because I sat back there while they sang in that song, and I just had myself a fit. I was a-bawling and a-squalling and a-wiping tears, and I was thinking, thank God I'm free. I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I'm free. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not disturbed about what's going on out there in the world. It's already in this book. It tells us what's going on. I'm not worried about it. I keep track of it, but I'm not worried about it. People, they become weary. Now let's just read here in verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So he's our comforter. If you're in mourning, he'll comfort you. Verse 3, to appoint to them that are in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said in John 15, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. My Father's glorified when you bear fruit. See, in John 15, it's all about trimming and the vine and bearing fruit and cutting off the dead limbs and all those kind of things. He wants us to bear fruit. And here's what he's saying here. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you're heavy-hearted, start praising God. That's the word of God. The word said to praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise God. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Somebody said, but I don't feel like praising God. Everything's going wrong. I don't know what to do. You start praising God, and after a while, things are not wrong, and you'll know what to do. You'll begin to get closer to God. The power begin to fall. There'll be healing start taking place, and you'll even feel like yourself laying hands on the sick and casting out devils and speaking with new tongues and whatever that God wants you to do. It's a working plan of God. It's God's working plan for you. Somebody said, I don't feel very good. I'll get the preacher to pray for it. Why bother about him? Why don't you pray? Huh? You know, there's more people spend more time calling the preacher to pray than you know when they already should pray the prayer of faith. I remember sometimes in some instances that when they called the preacher to pray, the man or whoever, woman, whoever it was that was sick was healed before he could get there. That there's the way God wants it. He wants us to get down to business where we pray one for another, where we don't aggravate one another. How many knows that we're not supposed to do anything that aggravates one another? That's against God's plan. And there's a lot of folks that like to aggravate you. How many knows what the remedy for that is? Praise the Lord and ignore them. Huh? Praise the Lord and ignore them. Come on, I see some of you smiling. And lift your hands and praise God a minute here. Amen. I feel the power of God, the glory of God down here. Amen. I feel like God's getting ready to do something great. It might be even here tonight. In the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 1:1. I want to read that just a little bit to you because it goes along so well with this right here. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, about verse 4. And listen to what it said. How many know we ought to be blessed? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and of the law of the Lord doth he meditate how much? Day and night. Now here's what I want. He shall be like a tree, that man, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his what the Lord's looking for, his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's God's word, and that's God's plan. Regardless of what goes on, he wants us to, that's the prosperity message. A lot of folks think money is the prosperity message. No, blessed is that man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand away the sinner, set in the sea the scorn. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Then he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf's not going to wither. Whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. And don't that count money into? So why do we have all this stuff? I don't know. I ain't heard much about it lately. I don't. Maybe they've quit it. But name it and claim it. Come on. He wants us to live it. And he'll give it. That's his job. That's not my job to tell him what to do. They had a doctrine come out here years ago. Command ye me. Yeah. See, God said, command ye me. Why? It has a scripture like that, but when you read it just right, that's not really what it says. Huh? We don't command God. He commands us. We don't do these things ourselves. That tree, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? I'll guarantee you, try. And the devil can't help. You can prosper and the devil can't help. But see, he wants more prosperity than a pocket full of money. What he wants is us to prosper and be in health.
And that's what that says over in 3 John. I would above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So how do we prosper? We be in health as our soul prosper.
I was sitting in a barbershop a few years back, and the man came in the barbershop to sit down, and he was the wealthiest man in Donovan. He's a multi-million dollar man over and over and over. And they sat there and they talked about it a while, and he finally brought up, how's he doing? He said, well, I got this cancer. He said, I'm in such bad shape and all these things. And after a while, he sat there and he thought over all his life. He just brought it out, this man did. And I sat there, I really got something out of it. He said, I'd give the farm the money and everything I have got if I could just get rid of this thing that's eating me up. He said, I'd trade it all. I left that barbershop that day, and I thought, boy, what a message. What a message. And I thought, well, I'm working on it, and ever since that day, I've worked on it harder and harder. I want to prosper and be in health, but as my soul prospers. If my soul don't prosper, I don't care whether the rest of me prospers or not. You know, there's a lot of folks that give anything back for their mind. Their mind. If they just had their mind again, like it used to be. If they just had it back. I praise God every day. Every day I go around praising God that He's given me a mind yet to preach. I would above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I was thinking, you know, I've been preaching 55 years. I'm 86 years old, and God has still got my mind lined out where I can preach the Word of God. I don't boast on it. I'm boasting on God. It's God. It's not me. And if I was to turn it right around like that man in the barbershop, I'd give everything I had to have what I've got now. And I don't have much. I don't have a whole lot of this world's goods. I just don't. I don't care nothing about it. I want more. I want to make more deposits in heaven. I believe that we, everyone, need to get to making some more deposits in heaven and forget what's going on down here. Because if what we're preaching is right, we ain't going to be here long anyhow. Amen. How many believe? I believe that it's almost over. I believe that somewhere in heaven, the wedding is being prepared. I believe that somewhere in heaven, it's just almost ready to sound the trumpet. I believe that somewhere that God is getting us ready, and one day we'll look around and we'll be gone.
We won't be there unless we are right